We will open the Word of God and read Isaiah chapter 55. There are Bibles in your pew. You can read along if you wish. Isaiah is in the center of the Scriptures, past the Psalms. It's Psalms, Proverbs, and a bit further you will find Isaiah 55. This Old Testament prophet is called the evangelist among the prophets because 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus, he testified and prophesied literally what would happen to Messiah. It was literally fulfilled in the Gospels. And this prophet invites people to come to the Lord. And that's what we read in Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that... that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Shall we now pray? O Lord, in these moments we fold our hands and we close our eyes, for we are in Thy presence and we are to listen to what Thou, our Maker, has to say to us. And before we do so, we pray Thee, O Lord, for the working of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may understand what is being proclaimed, and that Thy Word would penetrate our hearts, and that we may discover who Thou art, that we may realize that Thou art very good, that Thou art love, and that Thou dost call sinners to repentance, so that they would be delivered from Thy just and righteous judgment. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need to be reconciled to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the most important matter of our life. Maybe we've never really considered this. May we bypass this. But could it be, Lord, that Thy Spirit would work in such a way that Thy Word would not return unto Thee void in this service? Lord, we thank Thee for everything that John Godey has meant for his children. We thank Thee for the care of the children given to their father. And in these moments we remember their mother, Ina. And now John and Ida are both passed on. We pray, Lord, wilt Thou work with Thy Spirit in their children and grandchildren? And wilt Thou give comfort to this grieving family? Be with us now as we reflect upon Thy Word. Give Thy servant opening in speaking, and hear us to the glory of Thy name. For Jesus' sake, amen. Beloved family Godey, we are gathered here at the funeral service of your beloved father. And also in these moments, we express our sincere condolences to you all, especially you, the children, the grandchildren, also the extended family. It is a great loss to lose parents. And so Cameron and Mark and Alan and David and Ryan, Christina and Catherine, it's for you a great loss. And we commend you to the Lord. Your father was ill for a while, and in a certain sense it can even be a relief when you see someone who is suffering and who can't really function anymore, that he is taken from this life. But still, there's more than just a relief. There's sorrow, because you will miss him. You think back of days gone by when you used to live as children in Ancaster for many years. Then you left the parental home one by one. And in 2016, your mother, Ina, passed away. with fondness we remember her, her kindness, her concern also for her children. And since the passing away of your mother, I understand that your father had a difficult time, that he missed his wife. And it was 2 years ago that he relocated to Tilsonburg in an apartment in Still Waters. It was also during those 2 years that dementia came into his life. And he had a hard time even recognizing his family, his children. And that must have been difficult for you. And I read yesterday somewhere that in such a case, a family suddenly realizes it's too late to say goodbye because it doesn't even register anymore. Although he is still there with us, then a period of grief is already setting in during that period of dementia. I was informed last April that your father made a nasty fall. I spoke with Ryan and with Christina. And because of that fall, he actually broke some of his teeth. And that's why he couldn't eat properly. And on top of that, it also turned out that he had a blockage in his esophagus. And so for the last months, he lost weight and he had severe eating problems. It was in the month of August that he was admitted to the hospital for 2 or 3 weeks. And then Christina stayed with him and even slept there at night, just to be with her father. And then he could come home again for the last weeks of his life. And you as children will miss him. But may I mention Christina, who the last 2 years, every evening came to her father in Stillwaters to have supper with him. Now that must have been a great joy for your father. And then at the time of his passing away, Catherine and Christina were there together. And I believe they read scripture with him. And there was one text that was very special to him. He learned that text in Dutch by heart. He did that already in his youth because his grandfather pointed that text out to him. It was written in a church where they went to. And then his grandfather told your father, learn that text by heart. Your grandfather apparently was an elder in that church. And he wanted his grandson, your father, to know that text and to live by that text. And so that text was somewhat dear to your father. And therefore I thought it would be fitting to reflect on this text, seeing it meant much to you. And especially much to your father. It's a text we should listen to because it's a text that speaks to people who are thirsty. And that's how we are. We're thirsting and we're chasing through life looking for the latest gimmick, looking for the latest fashion fad, looking at what other people do, and you want to fit in the crowd, and you want to make a point and show that you are an individual, and you make certain choices of how you appear just to show to others that you are important and that you are an individual, and you want to have recognition. But the bottom line is, you're thirsting. What are you thirsting for? For recognition. You're thirsting for happiness, for fulfillment in our life. And that's how we all are. Me too. You want fulfillment in your life. We're thirsting. Now, how can your thirst be quenched? How can you find real fulfillment in your life? How can you find real happiness and purpose in your life? And how can you be seen as an individual who is important? How can you be recognized as someone who is worthwhile? And that's what we want. Well, you can try to find it in the world, but you'll never find it. It's a dead-end street. And why is it a dead-end street? Because it never satisfies. There's only one who will satisfy your life, and that's God. And why is that? Well, He made you. And He made you a body and a soul. And your soul is thinking, why am I living? Where is God? Is there a God? And should I pray? I guess I should pray a bit, but or pray a lot. Or that's your soul. Your dog never prays because it has no soul. But you have a soul. And your soul will only find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Really. Because He is the life. He laid down His life as a ransom price for sin. Now, we'll look at this further. It says, verse 1 here, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." That's what that old prophet is saying of 2,700 years ago, who had seen the glory of the Lord in the temple. And he was endowed with God's Spirit to proclaim God's Word in those days. And we still may listen to him. There Isaiah says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And what are those waters? Where can we drink? That is God. That is the Lord. And we can only have access to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because we're sinners. And God is a holy God. He will not accept anyone with sin just to stand before Him and thinks He will accept me. Why? Because I've always been good and kind to people. Well, hopefully you have been good and kind to people. But that does not cover your sins, which I have done and you have done. The Lord is too holy for that. He wants absolute perfection. Well, we can never do that. No. And that's why God sent His Son. And His Son was absolutely perfect. That's why He lived here on earth for 33 years. A perfect life. And by listening, by obeying, by looking unto Him, all His merits are laid upon your life. And God looks at you through the glasses of His Son. And then He says, "You are perfect. And all your sins, you've paid for them. Oh, they're all gone. But we didn't do anything. It was through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's why He is so vitally important. And knowing Him, you will have life. Knowing Him, you will see that you are important before God, although we don't deserve anything. And we cannot do anything without Him. But yet, in Him you find fulfillment. In Him you find love. In Him you find rest. In a life which is subdued, subjected to Jesus Christ. And that's what this whole chapter is about. In verse 2, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? How much money do we spend? And how much do we work? For what? When you leave this life, you leave everything behind. For what? It doesn't satisfy. And therefore the Lord says to us in this service, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. It's a cry of his heart. It's a cry because of the miserable, tragic reality that people go through life thirsting, thirsting, and can never find real fulfillment. And there the Lord cries and calls to us this morning, incline your ear. Because outside of God, everything is vanity. It is. What's the purpose? What's the big deal? Working, having a house, and then, well, then you go to retirement home, and then, yeah, well, then you die, and then, well, at least I lived in a fine house. Yeah, that's nice. But ultimately, it's vanity. If you're outside of God, your life is vanity. And people know that. People who have everything. They have castles, mansions, and they want more. Napoleon said, I wish there was another world that I could conquer. Because it's never enough. Louis XIV of France, that wicked king who lived in ultimate wealth and extravagance, an immoral life. At the end of his life, he said, La farce majeure est finie. The big joke is over. That's life spent for this world. And therefore, the Lord says, incline your ear. Listen. Listen. That means pay attention. Listen to what's for your salvation. Listen, because this pertains to your eternal happiness. Listen. And you know, we listen to all kinds of noises in the world. Music and reporters and so on and so on. And that blocks out the voice of God, the Bible. What role does it play in your life? The Word of God? Do we listen? Or do we listen to the CBC and Fox News and we listen and watch Netflix but we don't really listen to God's Word? I hope we do. But it can very well be that you don't. And that is life. Everlasting life. That's why people in Sudan and in China and in North Korea and in Nigeria and in Eritrea, they give their life for this. Because they know this is real, this is true, this is worthwhile living for and dying for. And that's why the Lord says to us now, incline your ear. Pay attention. The Lord speaks through His Word. Do you incline your ear? Do we read the Word of God? Well, the text says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear. That coming unto the Lord, that means prayer. It's actually very simple. A child here with us, I don't see many children, but a child can understand it. You listen and you come, you speak. Just like when you were a child and you lived in Ancaster and you played outside and your mom said, come, come home. And you inclined your ear, you listened, and you came home. It's supper time. Now that's how it is with the Lord and us too. We have to listen and then come. And how do we come to God? You could walk to your mother, but you can't walk to God. No, but you pray. You shut the door of your room. You bow your knees. And you pray. You say, Lord, I need Thee in my life. Because I am a sinner. That's something we may not really appreciate. Well, we certainly should not appreciate that we are a sinner. But people don't even want to be reminded of that. But we have sinned against our Maker. And God is going to call all those sins into judgment. He's going to say to every person, pay what you owe. Because God gave us this world to live in. I did not make the sun to shine outside. Neither did you. I didn't make my own hands. Neither did you. I can't keep my heart pumping, beating. I can't give myself oxygen in my lungs. I have a bit of a cold. It could be far worse. We're dependent. It's all a gift of God. Everything we have, it comes from God. And now God is going to one day give us we have to give an account of what we've done with our lives. And that's what this coffin reminds us of. That day is coming for you and me. And therefore it's so necessary that we incline our ear and that we come to Him and that we say, we need Thee, Lord, because I am a sinner. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Oh, it is so beautiful. We are speaking here at a funeral service about life. That's what we're here for. We're not going to meditate on death. We're going to meditate on life. True life in all its vibrancy and its happiness and its fulfillment. Life, it says here, your soul shall live. Get a life, they say in the world. Well, you won't get a life in the world. But you will find life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who come unto Him will receive life everlasting. Come unto me here, and your soul shall live. Because God translates a person from an old life of selfishness, where it's all about I, me, and myself. A life in which I don't care about God. I just care about maybe for other people around me, but it's basically about myself. And the Lord changes that disposition, that the life is focused now upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And how shall God be honored in my life? How shall I learn to love Him more and more? Because He first loved me by dragging me out of a life of nothing, of guilt. Your soul shall live. And even if you die, you will still live. Because those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have everlasting life. And that everlasting life is seen by the fact that now they gravitate towards the Lord. They need Him every day. They need His presence. They need His love. They need His guidance. They need Him as their shepherd, as their king to protect them, as their prophet to instruct them, as their priest to pay for their sins. It is a glory. It's a glorious life. Really. I've been there. I know it. There are people here who know it too. It's life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. What is that? That means that God enters with you. Let's call it a covenant of grace. That means I will be gracious to you. I will guide you and lead you through life. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will abide with you. I will be your shepherd, and you will lack nothing. Even in days of sickness, I will be there to comfort you, because you have been adopted as my child. And when the day of death comes, that will be for you the best day of your life. Because then you will be ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that everlasting covenant. It can't be broken. And then the text goes on to say, the sure mercies of David. Now what's that? The sure mercies of David. Well, it can mercies, that means the loving kindness, the care, the blessing. That can mean that the blessings the Lord gave to David, that the Lord was with David and protected him and kept him, the king of Israel, a few centuries before Isaiah was the king, actually. They all referred back to King David, the golden period of Israel. The Lord was with David and blessed him. And so when it says here, the sure mercies of David, that the Lord can bless His people as He blessed David. But it can also mean something else. And the one is compatible with the other. Sure mercies of David, David the king. But often the Lord Jesus Christ is designated as David, the son of David. And that means the sure mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. That whatever the Lord Jesus has merited, He gives it to His people because He loves them. They will judge the nations together with Christ when He returns. They will be seated with Him in His throne. We don't understand that all, but it's the precious care that the Lord Jesus Christ has for all His people. Sure mercies of David, of the Lord Jesus. And it's all grace, free mercy. And then, when you're in Christ Jesus, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to worry. You lay all your cares before the Lord, and the Lord lifts you up together with your cares. Like David himself wrote in that Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will be with me, even if my life goes through the valley of the shadow of death. He will be with me." And therefore, this text is so very good to reflect on. And I hope that we will take this text with us, that we will read it at home, that we will bow our knees, that we will incline our ear and hear and come to Him, and that our soul shall live, and that we will find Him who is the resurrection and the life, who is the only payment for our sin. May the Lord bless you all, and especially you as a family. Shall we now pray? Most merciful Lord and God, we have, in a few words, tried to reflect upon Thy Word. We pray, Lord, if Thou wilt give the fruit upon this Word, if Thou wilt have compassion upon this family, and bless them, and grant Thy grace according to their needs. Wilt Thou go with us as we go to the cemetery? And wilt Thou lead all things? We thank Thee for these moments in Thy house. O Lord, give us grace that we would incline our ear and come to Thee. For then our soul shall live. Hear us for Thy name's sake. Amen.